Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, Army sports fans, to the As for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, in Madison, Alabama, joined by Rob, Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Dan in Coastal, Connecticut. Gentlemen, Army almost did it. Almost beat Tulane this week. Roller coaster of emotions watching that game. We've slept since then. How are we feeling today about the game and Army's kind of season in general?
I guess the worst thing is that they didn't get one game that they needed for bowl eligibility, and that made me sad. But I was really happy after the game to feel like a sense of emotional detachment and not let it like ruin my weekend, especially because you're watching a game on TV over which you have absolutely no control, right? I mean, the fact that you did or didn't wear your lucky T-shirt, as important as that sometimes feels, actually doesn't impact the game at all. And so you sort of have to remember that sitting on your couch.
Yeah. Rob?
For me, it's this season just feels weird. You know, we've had rough seasons before, but this one just feels different. And I think it's just because, you know, we're not completely in a valley yet, but it feels like we're in or on our way down to one. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that has to be that way. And I think a lot of the fan base is starting to get a little unruly because, you know, you expect to have, you know, top shelf success year after year after year. And that's just not college football. I mean, there were six upsets of top 25 teams this week.
Yeah.
So, you can't really bank on, oh, our team was good last year, they're going to crush everybody this year. I mean, that's just not the way college football is these days. I
mean, imagine being a Memphis fan. They got taken to the house by UAB. I mean, that was crazy. Head
coach. Yeah. Yeah. Rob, you said it feels like we're going into a valley, and I think I probably have to disagree. For me, it feels like we're coming out of a valley, and we just like can't quite get there. And it's, watching that game, it's like, in a sense, I was disappointed that we didn't win. I think we could have won. I think we should have won. But at the same time, it's like, this is not the same team we saw in week one that got their butts kicked by Tarleton State. So it's like we've kind of turned a corner, but we haven't fully kind of been able to get there, which is, I think, unfortunate, right? And I think a lot of us were hoping that this would be the week that we kind of turned a corner, going into a bye week this week. So maybe the team is going to kind of use this frustration, anger, whatever it is, and power through, get some things right, and come out on the other side. And the second half of the season is totally different. We don't know. You know, we can only hope. So. But let's get into it. We'll do some analysis today on the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Also going to take a lot of questions. As I mentioned, we're going to the bye week, so we're not going to have a full analysis of the upcoming game because it's the bye week. So we did solicit a lot of feedback as part of our mailbag program, and we have a lot of questions from Firsty Club members, those of you that follow us on social media. So looking forward to some of that dialogue and discussion. But before we do that, Rob, why don't you tell our listeners about our sponsor?
All right, so I had to update the copy because there was a question. Somebody asked, like, is Jocelyn an actual West Point grad? And it's like, yeah, you didn't know that. And I think we just assumed that because she sponsors the show, that everybody knows that she's a grad. So she is a class of 2010. But if you're listening to the Ask for Football Show ever in your life, you know that we have a sponsor here by the name of Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a member of the Long Gray Lang West Point class of 2010 and served as an Army logistics officer where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. She is now a dedicated realtor, and she brings the same commitment to you when she's trying to find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional service and personalized home buying experience, and she will tailor it to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veterans that spans the country. So if you're ready to PCS, contact her. She will point you in the right direction. She makes recommendations at no cost, and she will connect you with professionals of integrity within the market. As a proud supporter of the Ask for Football team, or Ask for Football this season, Jocelyn is a realtor that you can trust to guide you to a new home. Reach out today and make her your point of contact to make your next move effortless. Thanks.
So I shouldn't admit this, Rob, but I'm going to. I didn't know Jocelyn was a West Point grad either. I don't know what it was. I don't know why. I didn't think she was. I thought she did ROTC. And I think that's great that she's a West Point grad. That's on me. I'll do 20 push-ups later. But there's now at least two of us that didn't know that. So shame on me. Shame on somebody for the way the Tulane game ended. But at the end of the day, Army took a very good Tulane team to the limit this past weekend, but just came up short in the fourth quarter, realistically in the last 2 minutes. Both teams moved the ball reasonably well throughout the first half, but struggled to finish drives. Army put together an epic 18-play, almost 12-minute drive, but missed a field goal. Tulane responded with an 11-play, 66-yard drive that turned over on downs inside the red zone. Green Wave eventually hit a field goal. Army responded with its own 90-second drive to tie it with a field goal of their own. In the second half, the Black Knights really took control on the ground. Two long drives went for touchdowns, giving the Black Knights a 17-10 lead with under 6 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, Tulane hit two quick drives for touchdowns in the closing minutes. Army drove back down the field in the final 30 seconds and put up a Hail Mary, but the Green Wave batted it down. Guys, Dan, I know you said you were emotionally detached, and I don't want to call you a liar, but I know you well enough to know that you were on an emotional ride during this game. What were your thoughts as you were witnessing this kind of play out in front of you?
Well, so picture, I'm on the back deck. There's three TVs, and I'm like pacing back and forth. And they closed the pool Saturday morning, so I had to go to the weights, which was fine. You know, I had actually been planning to lift anyway, but I spent longer than normal in the weight room. And so, you know, did curls. And so as I'm watching the game, like involuntarily flexing and unflexing, my forearm started spasming. So yeah, it was extremely painful trying to stay calm and keep it out of the
room. Totally emotional.
Totally emotional. Well, let me just put it to you this way. I can only imagine what it was like to ride on the plane home, because that would have been hard to be on the field, and I was able to sort of let it go. As I said, you know, notwithstanding the final result, there was a lot to like in this game. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing was probably that the offensive line looked freaking outstanding. I mean, Tulane does not have some bunch of losers on the D-line, and our offensive line was moving those guys effortlessly. It was very impressive. Cal Holmes went 7 of 10 passing for 125 yards, and that's with the 37-yard drop that should have gone for a touchdown. I mean, he's a really good passer on occasion. Maybe not quite as consistent as we might want, but, dude, 7 of 10 passing with a drop and two balls that he just threw away because the play wasn't there. That's a decent stat line for an Army quarterback. Defense was outstanding against the rush, held Tulane's very, very good rushing attack under 150 yards rushing and under 5 yards per carry. I wrote in my article that the offense needs to be more explosive, and the defense needs to find a way to mount a meaningful pass rush in critical situations, which is feedback we got on social media that I thought was probably the smartest thing anybody said on social media, to me at least. Probably should have won, but this game plan, it worked. They ran the ball, they stopped the run, they created turnovers, they didn't put the ball on the ground themselves. Or rather, they did, but they managed to get it back. So team continues to improve every week. There's no guarantees, but they look like they're ready to go on a run, late season run. And I don't think there's anybody on the schedule left that's as good as Tulane. In fact, I think Tulane would beat K-State. So, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Rob, I know you're Mr. Defense, right? And lately, you've been weighing in on the offense a little bit. So I'm going to give you an opportunity with a question. What did you think of the play calling by the offensive staff this week?
So it's a mixed bag, right? And I say that because you can't beat a team with the same game plan that you beat them with last year, right? The players are different. The opportunities are different. The situations are different. So to continue to run the QB power may not have been the best decision at some point, you know, and you have a bunch of talented running backs in this offense. Like, you have to be able to take full advantage of them. I'm a running back by committee guy, so I would rather see, you know, 5 or 6 dudes with 500 yards at the end of the season than one particular rusher with 1,000 yards. And that's more of an Army football stat than any other program in college football, right? Like, you're going to see a feature back and maybe a running quarterback that's going to have 600-700 yards and about 1,000 yards passing. I think, you know, you also have to not be afraid to go back to the passing game, even if there was a drop. And I think that drop kind of changed the calculus of how we were going to run the offense in the second half, because you know, like, hey, you had a wide open shot, guy drops it, oh, we're not going to go back to that. Like, no, guarantee you, if you throw that ball, same ball at that guy again, he's not going to drop it. Like, why? Because he's trying to make up for that previous effort, you know? And so I think those are the two things that I would say, but like, you know, Coach Summerall has a lot of experience coaching defense against Army. And so you can't, you know, you can't bring in a cookie cutter playbook or run the same play over and over again, expecting success, because eventually he's going to scheme out of it. Right. That would be the main thing that I would say. And then, like I said, I agree with Dano, the offensive line looked way, way better this season. Right. But I also think that, you know, are people getting healthy? You know, we had some guys come out for a little bit earlier in the season. They're kind of healing up. Maybe this will be the, you know, maybe Air Force will be the week where we have the complete offensive line healthy and ready to play, because we keep seeing people like popping in and out, you know, of the line, and like backups are doing well, but you know, you got five dudes.
Offensive line is all about chemistry. So if you have people, it's a different, you know, starting five, starting six every week. It's hard to get in a groove.
Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, switching quickly over to the defense. Defensive front looked good. Front seven looked really good. There were some, you know, miscues in the secondary that are very coachable. You know, like, hey, look, if you're going to jam a guy, jam the dude. Like, don't let him get past you. And then the other part of it is, when you can't track the ball, push the receiver out of bounds, right? Like, if you don't know where the football is, push the receiver out of bounds, and then he becomes ineligible to make the catch. Right. So those would be the only two comments that I have. And again, those are situational defensive plays that probably don't come up that often, but it's something to think about. And now that you have it on film, there's adjustments that you can make moving on to the next game.
Yeah. Rob, I know we don't make it a habit of bragging about the other team. Tulane's secondary, their linebacker core, to me looked fast. You know, Noah Short is a fast guy, and those linebackers were crashing down and going hash to hash with him on every play, every jet sweep pitch, whatever we did. Their linebackers were impressive. Did you see anything defensively that Tulane was doing to kind of open their linebackers up to be able to do that? Or do you think they just have some great athletes?
Well, two things. One, they were daring Army to throw. Right.
Absolutely.
It put eight dudes
in the box the whole game.
Like 100%. Like it's easy to close when you're two yards off the ball as a linebacker, right? Regardless of how athletic Noah Short is, like, it's easy to fly sideline to sideline when your only responsibility is stopping the run. And I would almost guarantee you they were like, look, play run first. Like, if these guys beat us over the top, so be it. We'll take a 30-yard strike over the top of us, because, you know, they're probably looking at it from the perspective of, you know, Army QB's arm is probably not that strong or not that accurate, or both, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's pack the line and prevent them from running, because if we stop them from running, we're going to win the game, you know. And, I mean, that has worked so many times before. And then look, when Coach Summerall was at ULM, the two ULM victories that he had was stacking the box and daring Army to throw, and we just weren't able to complete passes. So, I mean, yes, they do have some athletes there. Yes, their defensive line is good. But, you know, when you have eight in the box, it's like Coach Munkin always says, if you can throw a hand grenade and kill, you know, 20 of the 22 players on the field, you're probably playing too close inside the box.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Right. And I appreciate the analysis. We've seen defenses and they got 9 or 10 guys inside the box and all of them were within 7 yards. Tulane, you know, looked like they had a high two a couple times and, you know, maybe 15 yards off the ball sometimes. But Rob, appreciate that analysis. Well, let's talk about what Army did well, right? You know, we just talked about what Tulane did well. Let's talk about what Army did well specifically. Let's give out some awards for the player of the game. Dan, you're up first. Well, I'm gonna be a sounder for that, and I forgot that there was a sounder. So, congratulations.
My award goes to tight end Tex Brennan. I think it's not some secret that his dad is a longtime friend of mine, friend of the show. Tex is the guy who recovered. Cale Helms' fumble in traffic and essentially saved the game. It was the first time we'd seen his name called on television, which I know has got Terry all fired up right now. And given injuries at the position, you're going to see him get a lot more run coming down the stretch in this. So, you know, here's hoping.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with wide receiver Brady Anderson. I was told he was a wide receiver. I'm so used to wide receivers wearing like 2 or 0 or some odd number that when I see a guy with 84, I automatically assumed he was a tight end. But you know, he got down the field quite a bit, had four receptions for 97 yards. And, you know, with opposing defenses keying Noah Short in the pass game, that's what you're going to need. You're going to need another outlet. I mean, you know, if you look at Ohio State, you know, Carnell Tate's numbers are getting much, much better than Jeremiah Smith. Like, why? Because everybody's double teaming him. And because everybody's double teaming him, you know, Tate is having an outstanding season, you know, and so you have to take advantage of those mismatches when you can create them. So, like, if you can't get it with straight up speed, you can get it with personnel, right? So if you're double covering Noah Short, then it gives you the opportunity to get some of the other wide receivers open. And so I think that would be important. But like I said, 97 yards receiving from one receiver at Army, that's almost unheard of, even when we had a much more open passing offense.
Yeah, 100%. So mine is not necessarily like an award. It's more of a small world kind of thing. So this past week, I was in Orlando at our corporate training facility. And, you know, it was new hire orientation. So we had all the new associates coming in, saying hi to everybody, you know, doing the thing. I'm facilitating. You know, we had them all go around, oh, you know, where'd you go to school, blah, blah, blah. So even though it doesn't really matter where I went to school at this point in my career, I said West Point. One of the girls raised her hand and goes, oh, do you follow Army football? And I said, well, believe it or not, yes, I do. And she goes, well, do you know who Josh Lingenfelter is? And I said, of course, tight end. And she's like, yeah, I'm the maid of honor at his wedding this weekend. So nice. Small world.
Went there to Penn State
with his, I guess, now current wife, because that was this past weekend. So anyway, cool. Small world. Moving on, let's play a game.
Shall we play a game?
This isn't really a game, but, you know, Dan wanted to use the sound. Gotta use the sounder. what's one thing you'd like to see from the Army football team going forward? Rob, I'll give it to you first.
Oh, geez. I got three, but they're really quick, right? So the first part is, I already mentioned, running back by committee. Like, if I have three or four guys on the team with 50, 75 yards, I'll be happy. Plus, it keeps the pressure off the quarterback. And with this number of quarterback injuries that we've had already preseason until now, I mean, we have to do that to keep, you know, whoever's the starting QB healthy. I think climbing the pocket in the pass game would be helpful when you're going downfield. And then, can I get a screen? I don't care if it's a bubble screen, a tunnel screen, some kind of, you know, swing pass, just a short passing game between 10 and 15, like the intermediate passing game, as some teams would call it, just to open up the playbook a little bit more. We have the athletes to do it. I think we just got to start utilizing it a little bit more.
Yeah. And just to be clear, right, we are three dudes like in our basement talking about football. Dan is like quite literally in his basement. We are not claiming that we know all the ins and outs or that we're criticizing the coaches or anything like that. So before you come for me in the comments, just that's my little disclaimer. For me, we keep running this play to Noah Short, and it doesn't work. I mean, we either lose 3 yards or we gain 2 yards. And I just, to me, it's not a very high probability play. Once again, I'm not claiming that I wrote the analytics book, because I didn't, but I feel like there's other things that we can do to open up that side of the field. It seems like we keep running the same jet sweep or a pitch to Noah Short that doesn't go anywhere. I would rather us try to do a tight end pop pass or a quick out route or something like that to open up that side of the field. Because to me, it's just sometimes it feels like we're running the same play over and over again, hoping it works and hoping we get them, and it's not working. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Dana, what would you like to see?
I would like to lean into that rollout RPO game just a little bit more. I mean, especially because they've been running out of the shotgun a decent amount. And when you're running out of the shotgun and you're running so much quarterback power, quarterback follow, I don't think it's asking too much to run. I mean, you could even run a speed option with an RPO element. I don't know. But we saw Helms do it a good bit against K-State, and we've barely seen it since then. And he's obviously good at it. The guy's a decent thrower. He throws well on the run. And as Rob has said, they need some offensive variety in crunch time. And I understand, like, people got pretty ticked off about the play calling on that last drive, but I do understand you ran your best play to your best player three times and hoped he could pop one. Like, it's not that that's hard to understand or hard to wrap your head around. However, on second down, they maybe had an opportunity to roll him out, and because Tulane was fully committed to stopping up the field in the middle. I mean, everybody was right there. And then they could do whatever they want. They could throw to the tight end. They could throw to Noah Short. They could throw to whoever, or just roll him out. And if the defense isn't there, let him run. He's good at that. Yeah. I mean, we have seen him manage these 90-second drives three or four times this season. Like, yeah, it is in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, he absolutely can do it. And plus, when you look at the amount of cushion that Tulane was given, especially on the wide receivers, like slants and short crosses were open all day long. But again, if you have a drop pass, that takes the confidence away, and not so much from, you know, the quarterback and the receiver, but maybe in the booth, you know. And I don't know. There's maybe, you know, like you said, the analytics book may tell you to do something different. But if you've got a wide open slant, use it. You know,
the one thing. Sorry, Rob, I didn't mean to cut you off. The one thing I will say about running those end arounds to Noah Short is that he's the fastest player on the team, so the defenses tend to key on where he is. So they need to run that enough to keep those guys spread out and thinking about him, because otherwise you're just running up the middle every goddamn time, which is, you know.
In fair, and one thing I like that we're doing is we've always been a fourth down team, but it really seems like this year we are committing to we'll go on fourth down three or four times a drive. We don't care. Like, and it seems like that has factored a lot into the play calling, which I like, because it, you know, I think it works well with our offense.
Well,
a couple times this past weekend where, you know, we broke one or had a great run on first down, and so all of a sudden it's second and two, second and one. And it's like, I understand the high probability play is the QB follow, but it's like, why, Rob, to your point, why do we not try to take a shot there? It's second and one. We know we're going to go for it on fourth down. So we have a couple opportunities to maybe try something. And it just seems like they're looking at what's the highest probability play, and we're just going to run that over and over again. And it's, Dan, when you run it three times, it no longer becomes the highest probability play at that point.
Well, they were looking for it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were transparently looking for it. So, hey
man, like I always say this, man, I'm a Raiders fan. So if you grew up watching the Raiders in the 80s, Jay Schrader was a quarterback, and it literally was run it, throw it deep. Right. So I'm going to get, you know, 3 or 4 yards on first down, 3 or 4 yards on second down, have a third and one or third and two, and then you chuck it 65 yards. Right. And like, I'm all down for that. Like, if you get 7 or 8 yards on the first play, like, that's your time to pass. And then I think one of the other parts of it is we have to get into a deliberate passing game. And I answered some of the questions later on in the mailbag about that. But, you know, a lot of the time, Army's passing mechanics is set up off of play action. It's predicated off of play action. We're not doing three-step drops. We're not doing five-step drops. And I think that kind of throws the timing off a little bit, right? So a release that may be open, if you just dropped three steps and fired it, is not there, because you have to go through, I have to fake to the fullback, set my feet, and then I have to start scanning the field. And so from a transitional standpoint as a defender, like, I know, like, hey, if I don't see somebody breaking through the line and running, I have time to recover because they're in play action. So unless the guy falls down or completely gets burnt, they have the opportunity to recover in coverage because of the play action. So play action is supposed to be a surprise, not every time you pass. Just a thought.
Yeah. 100%. Well, let's keep it moving. I know, you know, Rob, you teased, we got a lot of content mailbags. Want to make sure we're getting to that. Dan, why don't you tell us about our other sponsor, Craig?
Friends, this show is also sponsored by Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates and give you the best deal he possibly can. And this is important because the mortgage process is freaking confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place, especially now. If you can tell me what's going to go on with interest rates in the next 6 months, I'll give you a beer. And it's just not the time to deal with some clown who's trying to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who actually cares, that you can call on the phone and have a conversation with. Not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And this is how the network, West Point Network, actually functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. Huge savings. It's like $1,300. Get that money, friends, as Jordan always likes me to say. $1,300 is a lot of money. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store, his link and Jocelyn's are on our website. They both got these little business cards. You click on them, you'll be talking to them in a couple of hours, and it is too easy.
In my defense, I did know that Craig was a West Point grad. So
good job, George. Good job. Big bites.
Just thanks, in case Jordan. Anyone was wondering.
Big bites.
All right. Hey, well, let's talk about the American Conference. This is Army's second year in the American Athletic Conference. We have five conference games this week. UNT at Charlotte, USF at Memphis, UConn at Rice, Temple at Tulsa, and Florida Atlantic at Navy. Gents, what are we watching? Rob, I'll go to you first.
All right, so circle this one on your calendar, USF at Memphis, right? USF has came out strong at the beginning of the season and have looked pretty good. Memphis just took it on the chin at UAB, so you're like, what is going on with them? But I think whoever wins this game is in the driver's seat for the second part of the championship matchup, right? I think that's 100% honest. Between USF or Memphis, whoever wins this game probably has the best path to the American Conference championship against Tulane or Navy. And I think it's probably going to be Tulane. I don't know, man.
We'll see. They're going to play that game.
Yeah. That's the thing. That game's going to play. So whoever is going to turn it out. And you got to watch FAU at Navy, right? And the reason why you got to watch that is because that's scouting for later on in the season. But FAU is weird. Navy's doing well, but like they're like two from the bottom in strength of schedule. So they've had the weakest schedule that they've had in a long time. And I think this is one of those opportunities that somebody could potentially bump them off, but I don't think it's going to be FAU. I think Navy's going to be undefeated probably until week 10 or 11 of the season, to be honest.
That would be the most like Navy BS thing to happen, is they like finish the season 14-0 and all this other crap with some cupcake schedule, and no one's like, hey, y'all had a crappy strength of schedule, because you can't say that about Navy. Like, that would be some crap that happens today.
They're number 134 out of 136 FBS teams.
There is a reason why they're not ranked. Why?
They are ranked now.
Are they?
I think in the AP. Yeah, they jumped to 25.
Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, it's not like they don't deserve it. I will say Navy and Army are the total opposites this year. You know, Army is zero explosiveness. It's 3.3 yards every play whatever. And so if you wind up 6 inches short on fourth down and go for it mathematically. Right. And Navy is the other way. They're 50 yards or nothing on every play. So it's just absolutely mind boggling to watch. My game to watch this week is Temple at Tulsa. Army still has to play both teams. And I was a little surprised to see this, but the Tulsa fans all seem to think that their team is about to go on a run and that the Golden Hurricane are going to come off a bye and just get hot, which I thought was insane. I would have said there was no way Tulsa was beating Temple. So, yeah, that's my American game for this week.
Yeah, it's an interesting year, right, in the American, USF, bottom feeder for years. And then, last couple of years, they showed a lot of potential, a lot of promise. And this year, I mean, they're doing fantastic. So, USF, Memphis, obviously going to be a great game. Memphis looking to get, back on the horse after losing to UAB. FAU at Navy, probably going to be another interesting one. UNT at Charlotte. I know that's kind of an odd one. Charlotte's not a good team. I think UNT is hit or miss. I think that's a team Army definitely should have beat, but it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of get back on schedule and beat Charlotte. Either way, let's go ahead and go to the mailbag.
You've got mail.
So we solicit questions from our Firsty Club, which is one of the levels on Patreon. But anyone can send us a question. If you've got something you'd like us to address, you can email us through the website or hit us up on social media at As For Football. Gents, we have quite a few of these this week. So I'm going to set some ground rules. I'm going to assume that we're all going to be adults about this. Let's try to keep it around 30 to 45 seconds for a response. I'm not going to start a timer. But if we all start getting out of control, like you sometimes do, we'll go to a timer. Do you think we can manage that?
Yeah,
sure.
You just distribute the ball, Jordan.
That's what I'm trying to do.
All right.
James Pagano, should Army have gone for it on the last fourth down before Tulane took the lead? Dano.
No, I was okay with the play call when they made it, because if you don't make it, the game's over, and they were averaging 2.5 yards per play on that drive, that they needed to do something different on second down.
Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to have the right play call. And I just don't think at that point in the game that Army was going to be successful with it. So they made the right call. But, if we had a couple more plays in the playbook to kind of stretch it, maybe we should have tried.
Yeah. Next question kind of feeds into that from Terry Brennan. Do we think it would benefit Army to hire a passing game coordinator? Honestly, Terry, kind of a scandalous question, if we're being honest. And for all the purists out there who get mad every time we throw the ball, I don't know if they'd like that. Dan, if we had a passing game coordinator, does that change your answer?
No. Didn't we try this before? In 2023, they hired the new offensive coordinator, and then to keep everybody from leaving, they gave everybody these crazy titles, and it seemed like it was a mess inside the building for a little while. It's not like Cody Worley doesn't know how to make this thing work. He did call the K-State game.
Yeah.
The plays are there. We just run them.
Yeah. Right. So for me, I think you don't technically have to hire a passing coordinator, just pass off some of those duties to somebody else in the office. Right. Cause right now he's double dipping as a QB coach and the offensive coordinator. You got to build the scheme as well as, coach the quarterbacks. You have a QA guy for offense, like slide some of those responsibilities over to him and let him start working the passing game. If that's something that you truly want to attack, you've got the personnel in the building. You just got to use them.
Yeah. I got to be honest, right? This idea is, to me, is almost like opening an Apple store in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, right? Like, sure, it might work and there's a little upside, but like, do you really want to be the general manager of the Apple store in Lancaster, Pennsylvania? Not really. Amish aren't buying a lot of iPhones. Sure, we could get a passing game coordinator, but like, I really wouldn't want to be that guy. It's like, oh, you get to call two plays a game. Like, ooh. Big whoop.
Navy and Air Force are both passing quite a bit, and for the most part, they're doing it by moving their quarterback, not by so much pass blocking.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, Dan, goes back to your point about RPO and moving the ball around a little bit. All right, next question from Jim Capps. If Army is going to pass more, what can be done to help the linemen block? Rob, you're our lineman guy. What do you think?
Yeah, so it goes back to what I mentioned earlier. Like, we need to start just straight drop back passing, right? Because you have to do the run. You have to fire aggressive and then drop into pass coverage, which is a little bit difficult, and it's more nuanced, especially if you're stacking the box for the run and they're run blitzing every time. So you're trying to fire out and then protect the quarterback. And that's very, very difficult to do, especially when you have to, give the appearance of a run play and then allow the quarterback to set up. You're actually adding like a half a second to that throw, and a half a second when somebody's, blitzing is a lot of time. So that would be my recommendation. And, the other part of it is the quarterbacks need to climb the pocket, right? Because that will help you get more time, right? Instead of continuing to drop back or roll out to go towards the one-on-one coverage, if you step up in the pocket, then you can check your other receivers. But nothing that I'm saying here is groundbreaking. That's quarterback 101, so it doesn't matter what level you're at, college or pros. If you step up in the pocket, it creates opportunity for you to throw.
Yeah. Dan, before the show started, we were talking about some of our previous guests, over the years. We've had a couple offensive linemen. I remember we had a rather technical conversation with one of those guests talking about the difference in, blocking for Army for the run game and how you kind of set up versus pass blocking. Yeah. Just, so much weight forward and Rob, drop back pass, I got it. That kind of telegraphs to the, the defense, though, just based on the stance, it's going to look different. Dan, do you think there's a way that we can achieve the passing game and pass more while still kind of keeping the core of Army football and keeping the run intact?
They have been doing it all season in the two-minute drill, and they've been very successful. They could run you can actually run a 2-minute drill offense at any point in the game and no one will stop you.
Really? I thought you were only do that during less than 2 minutes. All right. Hey, well, Jim Zopoulos said, what is more important for this year's Army team in the fourth quarter? Number one, having the shutdown defense to preserve a win, or number two, an offense that makes plays to hold a lead or come from behind to win? Dan, I'll let you answer this one first.
The way this Army team is built, I think that offense has a better chance of succeeding with holding the ball and not necessarily putting up points, but just holding the ball and suffocating the other offense. And, when Army got the ball with 2 minutes remaining, I thought, well, Tulane hasn't stopped this team all day. Why do we think they're going to suddenly stop them now? Army should drive down and get this field goal and win this game. I mean, I still think that is what should have happened.
Yeah, it's interesting. The commentary oftentimes about, you know, playing Army, preparing for Army is you have to make every possession count. You're only going to get four.
I mean, they're not wrong.
And they're not wrong, but I feel like that's advice that, you know, we give to the other team. We need to take that advice too. Like, if they're only getting four or five possessions, that means we're only getting four or five possessions. So we need to maximize those possessions and have them end in points. And when a drive stalls out or we turn it over or we miss a field goal or whatever it is, like, it's the same thing as when we force a three and out on defense. Like, okay, great. Like, you know, it's swinging back in our favor. It goes both ways. And I think sometimes we forget about that.
Well, that's the downside of all those fourth down conversions is now your offense is moving so slow that if anything happens, even a false start, 5-yard false start, you're dead.
Yeah. Rob, thoughts on
that? Just really quickly, you know, overall Army is they're struggling in the red zone. And I say that because they're usually converting at a much higher rate. And so I think that's part of it too. So you can't just control the ball. You've got to get points as of some value. Right. And so again, whether it be, you know, field goals or touchdowns, it doesn't really matter. But if you're going to hold the ball for that long, you're winning the time of possession. And like Terry said earlier today, that's kind of a hollow stat because we're number one in time of possession in college ball, but we're 92nd in points in the red zone. So not very helpful, right? So I think there's a balance there that you kind of have to hit both. But I mean, it should buff out. But again, it's all because of you got a young quarterback in there. You know, although he's a junior, he hasn't had a lot of touches, and so he's still developing. We're seeing the successes, but we're also seeing things that we don't like. But hey, look, you know, as long as we have time in the film room to work it out, what are you going to do?
Yeah. All right. Hey, McDonald, 22. Yeah.
I'm not sure whose handle that was. With apologies.
Not sure if this would be better for the Army Show roundtable, but given the coaching carousel has already started to turn. And the timeline for hiring coaches has become tightened because of the portal. Are there any concerns that Munkin interviews at the end of the year or earlier again? What do you think? What do we think about this one?
Yeah, that's a concern. Yeah, especially this year, everybody's getting fired.
Yeah,
it's college. Yeah, it's college football, and we're seeing guys getting moved out like way earlier in the season, and the interim coaches aren't getting it done. So, like, if you look at what happened to Penn State this weekend, you know their interim coach wasn't able to pull anything out. UCLA, I think their interim coach may become their actual coach because they're on a run right now, so they've won three in a row.
Yeah,
so it just depends on really how the interim coach does. You know, if the interim coach comes in like gangbusters and they're winning, he might save himself at least until midway through the season next year. But rumor has it Billy Napier is probably going to end up going to Penn State. I mean, that's one.
What? That's crazy.
Like that's one of the again. But you got to take it with a grain of salt because it's coming from ESPN, right? So ESPN is also the same people that were like, "Oh, Ryan Day is going to leave Ohio State for Penn State." Like, no, you're on drugs, right? So we have to really, take it with a grain of salt. But I think the reality of it is at some point somebody is going to approach Jeff Munkin for an opportunity, and if it's the right one. Hey, we might all be a little bit upset about it, but I mean, the reality of it is there's only so many levels that you can continue to coach at a certain level. I think, selfishly, we'd all like him to stay forever and ever and like rename the stadium to, the St. Jeffrey Munkin Memorial Stadium, but that's probably not going to happen. But we at least have him for the rest of this season, I hope.
We hope. Yeah. James Franklin to Army? ? Hopefully,
they wouldn't start that rumor.
Well, I saw someone at the University of Florida made a comment, and they're like, "Well, if Nick Saban is going to come out of retirement, we'd be interested in him coming to coach it."
Oh my god!
And the governor of Florida tweeted, and he's like, "Yeah, I'd be interested in winning the lottery." Like, why is Nick Saban going to come out of retirement to go to UF?
He's not going to. Miss Terry won't let him. Miss Terry won't let him out.
He's doing just fine. All right, final question from the mailbag from Thomas Swanson. The chop block rule change was a few years ago. Why is it still posing a challenge for Army? Huge penalty that cost an almost certain touchdown against Tulane. I don't know if I would call it a challenge. To me, that kind of seemed like a mistake on our part versus an intentional or coaching play call. But Dan, I know you've done a lot of digging and research into chop blocks. You know, what did you think happened on that play?
Oh, I have no idea what happened on the play. I was actually really wondering because it did look like an intentional chop block. And I couldn't tell you, but I will say the reason I took this question is because the people get confused with the terminology chop block versus cut block. A chop block is illegal. A chop block is where one guy is engaged low and the other guy hits him high. That's always been illegal. It's never not been illegal. A cut block is where you make thigh bone soup. You just block them below the waist. And cut blocking was legal forever until, you know, they got the ass with it in 2022. So that's part of the reason why you wanted to talk about this question is because that particular penalty really doesn't have anything to do with the rule change. It's just, you know, if anything, chop blocking was probably more prevalent back when they used to cut block a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typically what happens when you see it now is like Air Force and Navy still do interior cut blocking. Like, so you're allowed to cut block inside the tackle box. And usually what happens when something like that happens, when it turns out to be a chop block per se, it's a double team that went bad, you know? So typically you have like two guys on an offense or on a defensive lineman, or guys supposed to chip the offensive lineman and or the defensive lineman and move to the linebacker, and the O-line guy gets tripped up. He falls down. Other guy hits him up top on his way to the linebacker. They're going to call that every time, you know, because it's a player safety thing. Unfortunately, that's why they got rid of, you know, or they started calling cut blocks a lot more aggressively, you know, outside of the tackle box, because like that used to be the, you know, that was the way of the wishbone or the wing bone is like, hey, I'm running at you. And next thing you know, I see a helmet at my knees. Like, it sucks, but it's a great way to, you know, force people to react to, you know, the blocking scheme. But normally when you see a chop block, you know, doctrinally, for lack of a better term, it literally is, you know, a double team that probably misfired or miscued. Yeah.
Remember 2022, we had shitloads of those chop block penalties just all the time.
Bad year. Yeah. I know we're all evolved, right, in 2025, and we care about player safety. I'm not saying player safety is not important, right? Concussions are a very real thing. You know, torn ACL, 100%. But, like, I do find it kind of funny that people are, like, all worked up about, oh, you know, it's a cut block, and that's it should be illegal and blah, blah, blah. And I just have to believe that, like, 150 years ago or 120, however many hundreds of years ago, when they came out with the leather helmet, and I'm sure that they had a similar debate. Oh, this is player safety. And people were all mad that we're getting a damn leather helmet. And
I mean, they invented the forward pass as a way to make the game safer.
That's kind of wild. It's if you go back and watch some film from like the 20s and the 30s, and even it's a very different ballgame. So now they didn't have 300 and something pound linemen running down the field, crushing somebody, but different ballgame. David Graves, as Coach Munkin says, if a cut block should be illegal, shouldn't tackling low be illegal too? That is a great point. We will not debate that on this show. We might debate that next week. Enjoy the bye week, everyone. Appreciate you tuning in to the As for Football Army Football Show. Go Army, beat Air Force.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's As for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at asforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!